Somebody in need is waiting on the other side of your trial, and they're going to be hurting over something that you're hurting over right now. And they're going to need somebody who can wrap their arms around them and say, look, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Let me tell you, God can comfort you. God can help you. God can pull you through this. He pulled me through. He'll pull you through.
Welcome to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, founder and senior pastor of the exciting Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Pastor Jeff brings you powerful biblical messages, along with practical applications that can help you grow in your personal walk with Jesus Christ. So stay tuned and be challenged, be encouraged, and be transformed by the power of the Word of God. On today's edition of Life Talk, we're continuing the life-changing message called Delivered From or Delivered Through. In this message, we'll learn about three important reasons why God allows His children to go through difficult situations. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us more.
In each and every trial we experience, God will either deliver us out of it or He will deliver us through it. The choice is up to the Lord based on what He wants to accomplish in our lives through the trial. We love to experience those powerful times when God literally reaches down and delivers us from a trying situation in answer to our prayers. We call it a miracle. But it's also a miracle of grace when God decides to carry us through the fire, through the valley, through the trial over a period of time. In today's message, I'm going to talk about these two possibilities and how to embrace it when God clearly has chosen to take our hand and walk us through our midnight hour to the other side. So let's jump right in as I share part two of the message, Delivered From or Delivered Through.
I want you to live your life according to my word. I want you to take this step of faith, that step of faith, witness to that person, pray in the prayer closet. I want you to take this step into this ministry. I want you to begin to reach others for me. I want you to do this, that, or the other. And we stand at the swollen creek. We stand and we see Him on the other side, and we finally decide to jump. Now listen, God has to teach us to trust Him. Because it's not easy trusting God. Can I just be honest? It's not easy trusting God. We can't see Him. We can't touch Him. We can't hear Him like we do other people. He's invisible. And complicating all that is many of us, before we ever knew the Lord, we were hurt in the world. We were hurt. We were hurt out there. Somebody betrayed us. Somebody lied to us. Somebody walked out on us. Somebody stabbed us in the back. Somebody did us wrong. Somebody left us standing alone. Somebody left us by ourselves. And after many, many promises, we realized that they had not kept them. And so we learned to mistrust. We learned to not trust. And some of us came to Jesus with a wall inside our soul 10 feet high, and there is a door in that wall, and it is locked, padlocked, deadlocked, locked every way it can be locked, and hanging on that door is a sign that says, keep out. I'm never letting you in again. I'm never going to let myself be hurt again. Listen, I'm never going to trust again. Now, God has to undo that. God has got to break through that. God has got to teach us to trust again, because He's not like them. He's not like people. He's not like those that walked out on you and hurt you and lied to you and betrayed. He's not like that. Jesus said, I will never fail you. I will never forsake you. I will never walk out. When everybody else walks out, I will walk in. I will never leave you. I'm not ever going to let you down. I'm not. Anybody in here, can you really truly say God has ever failed you? No, God has never failed you. He's never failed me. But He's got to teach us to trust Him. And it takes Him time to teach us to trust Him. It's part of the renewing of our mind. It's like He's saying to us, listen, I'm not like them. You can trust me. That's why the Bible describes His character over and over and over again. He's faithful and true. He's true to His word. He will never let us down. He's a forgiving God, a merciful God, a loyal God, a faithful God, a compassionate God, a loving God, a staying God, a keeping God, an upholding God, a healing God, a delivering God, a providing God. He's God. So he says, I'm going to have to teach you how to trust. I think of the children of Israel when they were walking through the terrible wilderness. And I want you to listen to the way that Moses reminds the people what God did when he led them through the wilderness. He said, God led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with its fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty ground where there was no water. Look at where God took them. Look what he took them through. Look what he led them to. He led them to a place where there was venomous serpents and where there were scorpions and where there was thirsty ground where there was no water and where they needed God to protect them. And yet every one of them came through to the other side, every one of them. And he goes on, he says, who brought you water out of the flinty rock? I gave you water out of a place that normally can't provide water. In other words, I made a way where there was no way. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna? Meaning, what is it? He fed you with what is it? You looked at it and said, what is it? And he fed you with what is it? To show you that he would never, never, never let you down. He's your provider. That your fathers didn't know. Nobody had ever seen this. What is it? That he might humble you and test you. Now listen to the last six words in this verse. To do you good in the end. To do you good in the end. When God works in our life, folks, when he allows us to walk through a trial, when he doesn't take us out, but he carries us through, it is always to do us good in the end. God is always looking at the end of a thing. He sees the end of a thing before its beginning begins. And he says, I know where I want you. I want you in the fullness of the stature of Christ. I want your faith to be strong. I want you to be a power for me. I want you to rebuke devils. I want you to share my son. I want you to leave a footprint of me in your life before you die. I want you to do exploits for God. So for me to get you there, I've got to let you go through some things where there's some fiery serpents and some scorpions, and I've got to make a way where there is no way so that it'll do you good in the end. In the whole 40 years that Israel journeyed through the wilderness, God was trying to teach them just one thing: trust. Just one thing. It wasn't a long list of things God was after. He said, everything I'm carrying you through, I'm trying to teach you one thing: trust. I want you to learn trust. I want you to trust me, because if you can't trust me, you will not be able to bring the giants down in the promised land. You've got to learn trust on this side. So when I take you to the other side, you know that I'm not going to walk away when you're facing a giant. You know you can bring that giant down because of what I taught you in the wilderness experiences of life. And they failed. They never learned. In 40 years, they never learned to trust God, not once. They complained themselves into a grave, and that whole first generation didn't cross over. You know why? Because they didn't learn to trust God. That's all. It's that simple. They complained instead of trusting. Now, Paul the Apostle comes along in the Bible, and he tells us, he's very transparent. I love this about Paul. Very transparent. He says, let me tell you about a time that I had to learn trust, that I was forced to learn to trust God. He tells the people in Corinth, he says, what we went through in Asia was so bad. Now, this is his second missionary journey. We don't know what he's referring to, but I do know this, it was bad. He said, what we went through was so bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We thought it was all over for us. Maybe some of you feel that way today. You're thinking, how am I ever going to make it through this? I don't know if I can make it. Some of you watching by streaming video in your living room, welcome to the service. Maybe you're not in church today because you couldn't get here because of what you're going through, and you're wondering, am I going to make it? I want you to hold on because you're going to more than make it. But watch this. Here's Paul, the mighty Apostle Paul, being very honest. So bad, we didn't think we were going to make it. We thought we were going to die in Asia. But as it turned out, listen to his words, as it turned out, it was the best thing that could have happened. Did you hear that like I heard that? He's saying what we thought was going to kill us turned out to be the best thing that could have happened. Because instead of trusting in our own strength or our own wits to get out of it, we were forced to trust God totally. Did you hear what Paul said? He said, we were forced. He said, this trial took me to a level of trust that I would never have reached on my own. This trial forced me to quit trusting in my own brains, my own talent, my own charisma, my own wherewithal, my own giftedness, and taught me that I'm going to have to trust God. Listen, you know you're in a trial, a real trial, if there's no way out but God. And that's where they were right here. They had no way out but God. And he said, it forced me to trust God totally so I can look back on it and see it was the best thing that ever happened to me. And can I prophesy to some of you today, what you're going through right now, you feel like, I don't even know if I'm going to make it. I don't know how I'm going to pull through. But can I tell you that your God, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And he is not going to fail you. He's not going to let you down. He's going to carry you when you can't walk. He's going to carry you when you can't carry yourself. And he's going to get you to the other side. And when you get to the other side, you're going to look back in the rearview mirror and say, what he carried me through brought me to a level of hope and a level of faith and a level of trust I would never have achieved on my own. So it's the best thing that ever happened to me. Come on, church. Come on. That's one reason that God leaves you in a trial.
Hi, everyone. I want to take a quick moment to share some exciting news. The Life Talk Radio broadcast now reaches throughout the country, and we sometimes receive emails and messages from our listeners saying, I wish I was in Fort Worth so that I could visit Turning Point Church and be with you in person. Well, while that may not be possible, we now have the next best thing available just for you. You can join us live in real time via our free webcast. It's this easy. Go to our church's website at tpcfamily.org. That's tpcfamily.org. Once you're on the opening page, just click on the Watch Message button. Follow the link and you'll be brought right into the service in progress. You can worship with us and then enjoy the message. We'd love to be a part of your weekly worship experience. You can join us for our 7 o'clock Wednesday evening service or one of our 3 Sunday morning services at 9, 10:30, or 12 Central Time. I look forward to welcoming you as part of our live webcast church family. Now let's go right back to today's message.
A second reason God chooses to walk us through trials is that he might make us a blessing to others. Listen to what Peter Marshall wrote. I just had to pull this quote. He said, God will not permit any troubles to come upon us unless he has a specific plan by which great blessing can come out of the difficulty. Amen. And one of those specific plans, notice he said a specific plan by which great blessing will come out of the difficulty. One of those specific plans is that we would help people in our future that are hurting like we are right now. Listen to what Paul wrote. He said, all praise to God. Can we say that together? All praise to God. Let's try it again. All praise to God. Can we just do a sermon pause and lift our hands and say, all praise to God, Lord. Just thank the Lord. I want you to thank the Lord that he's got your situation. Would you thank the Lord that he's got your situation right now? Go ahead and just say, Lord, thank you. You've got me. You've got it. Can we give him, come on, praise him. Praise him in the house of God. Some of you are thinking, this is not as formal as I'm used to. I don't like formal. That's why I want people in the altar worshiping God. I want freedom, not formal. You can have formal, you can have freedom. Some freedom is crazy freedom, but then there's real freedom, and I don't want freezing formal. I want fiery freedom. Amen. Made that up just then. I'm going to put that on the refrigerator because it even rhymed. Thank you, Lord. He says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is our merciful Father and the source of all comfort. Now look what God does when you're in your trial. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. He's saying you can't give what you don't have. So the reason you go through a trial is in that trial, you learn to let God comfort you. You learn to let God encourage you. You learn to grab that Bible and wrap it around, hug it like a little baby and say, thank God for the word of God. It is my comfort. He sent his word and healed them. The word of God, he's the God of all comfort. He's the God of all hope. He's the God of all healing. And in that trial, we learn the comforts of God. And as he comforts us in our trial, see, somebody is waiting on the other side of your trial. Somebody in need is waiting on the other side of your trial, and they're going to be hurting over something that you're hurting over right now. And they're going to need somebody who gets it, somebody who understands, somebody who can wrap their arms around them and say, look, I've been there, done that, got the t-shirt. Let me tell you, God can comfort you. God can help you. God can pull you through this. He pulled me through. He'll pull you through. I'm giving you what he gave me. I'm giving you what he gave me. I'm giving you what he gave me. God never wastes a pain. Any pain we go through, and we will go through pain, God says, I'm going to take that. I'm going to comfort you. I'm going to encourage you. I'm going to carry you through it. And then these people are waiting on the other side, and you're going to encounter them at the office or at home or on the street or at church, and they're going to be hurting, weeping, crying, in pain, wondering, am I going to make it? And you're going to be able to walk up to them and give them what I gave you. Yeah. Who can help somebody better who has lost a loved one than somebody that's been comforted by God who also lost a loved one? Who can hold a struggling alcoholic's hand and encourage them better than somebody who fought alcoholism in Jesus' name and won the battle? Who can understand them better? Who can comfort a broken-hearted parent better whose kids have gone crazy? They won't listen to you anymore. They're off doing their own thing. They've rejected God, everything you ever taught them, and you're broken-hearted. Who can help you better than somebody who walked through the same thing and they saw God's goodness and they saw his long-term faithfulness and they can comfort you? They can give you what God gave them. So God uses trials to teach trust, and he uses trials to prepare us to minister to others. And one last thing, he uses trials to give us a testimony before a skeptical world. Let's go back to our three Hebrew children. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are thrown into the oven. They're thrown into an oven that's seven times hotter. They're thrown into an oven that is so hot, those that throw them in are incinerated when they throw them in. And they're thrown in fully clothed, I assume so they burn better, and their hands are bound behind their back, and they're thrown in that way. And now it's showtime. It's showtime. Because remember, they said, our God will deliver us. He'll either take us out of it or he'll take us through it, but he is going to come through for us because we know our God and we've learned to trust him. Now watch this. It says in Daniel 3:24, but suddenly, I love that word suddenly, because Nebuchadnezzar is watching for them to ignite, and suddenly Nebuchadnezzar jumped up in amazement and exclaimed to his advisors, didn't we tie up three men and throw them into the furnace? And they're all going, yes, your majesty, we certainly did. And he says, look, I see four men unbound, walking around in the fire, unharmed. That's telling me you can walk around in a red hot trial and not be harmed. You can walk around in a red hot fiery trial, oven of trial, and not be harmed. You're in it, but you're not hurt by it. You're in it, but you're not taken out by it. You're in it, but you're going to come through it. Now I want you to look at how they came through. He says, look, I'm seeing four men unbound walking around, and the fourth one looks like a god. Another version says, looks like the Son of God. It was Jesus. And then Nebuchadnezzar says, I got to get closer and see what this is about. So he got as close as he could to the door of the flaming furnace. And I love this. He shouted, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now look at what he calls them, servants of the Most High God. Come out, come here. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stepped out of the fire. Stepped out. Everybody say they stepped out. But I want you to notice when they stepped out. They stepped out of the fire after Nebuchadnezzar saw Jesus in the fire with them. In other words, they didn't step out until the testimony had stepped in. They didn't step out until the testimony was made real to Nebuchadnezzar. And when the testimony of their fiery ordeal and their deliverance was made clear to the king, that's when they stepped out. That tells me sometimes God lets us walk through something until those around us who are skeptical of our testimony see the way God is keeping us in the fire. And look at the impact it had. Those, the high officers, the officials, the governors, all of the who's who's, crowded around them and saw the fire had not touched them. Not a hair on their heads was singed. Their clothing was not scorched. They didn't even smell like smoke. The only thing affected was the things that tied their hands. Those were burned off. Oh my. Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He sent his angel to rescue his servants who trusted in him." Here's the testimony. There's no other God who can rescue like this. Amen. Amen. Now, I've told you how you get a testimony. I say it a lot. I'll say it again. You get a testimony when you're tested and some moaning. You're moaning. Oh, I'm going through a trial. Oh, this hurts. There's some moaning and there's a test. But when you come out on the other side, you've got a testimony. And others see it and they go, wow. Jesus didn't just work for them when things were good, but Jesus carried them through some fire. And what would have taken me down didn't take them down. How many of you are in a test? You're in an oven test. You're being tested. Amen? All right. Do you believe the fourth man's going to step in there with you? Are you ready? He's already there. He's already there. He's in the fire with you. He's in the oven with you. He's already there. I'm not saying it's easy. I've been through some tests that honestly, I didn't know if I was going to make it to the end of the day. Amen. I could say with Paul, I didn't know how I was ever going to get out. But God strengthened me. And look, you didn't think you'd ever be in church again. Here you are again. You didn't think you'd ever praise again. And look at you, you're praising again today. The devil told you you're down and out, and he stood over you and gave the count. But right when he got to 9, God came through. The fourth man showed up and stood you up. Yes. And that's what Jesus died for. He died to get us to heaven, and he died to give us victory on this earth. See him on that cross? Look what he went through. We don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our struggles and pain. Because he was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. See, Jesus suffered ultimately, and that's why he can ultimately understand and is touched by our pain.
We hope you were blessed by Pastor Jeff's message. We're so glad to have you with us today. Here at Life Talk, we want to stay connected with you and help equip and encourage you in your walk with the Lord. If you would like to receive e-devotionals and ministry updates from Pastor Jeff, visit our website at lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us. From there, you can sign up to receive this exclusive Life Talk listener email. When you sign in for the first time, we'll send you a free gift as a thank you for being a devoted Life Talk listener. So go to lifetalk.us and sign up for a free e-devotional today. To get a copy of today's message or this entire sermon series, give us a call toll-free at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Our friendly staff will be standing by to assist you and even offer you a special discounted price so you can get your own copy of your favorite message or the entire sermon series from Pastor Jeff. This is our way of thanking you for your unwavering support for Life Talk. Once again, the number is 877-884-3111. Or visit our website at lifetalkradio.us for more information. Coming up next on Life Talk.
Listen, if you've got worldly friends that don't honor the Lord, let me tell you right now up front, they aren't concerned about your faith. They're not concerned about your spiritual victory. They're just out to have fun with you, to take advantage of you. But the minute you take a stand for Christ, they're gone. We need people that really love us. And the ones that really love you are the ones that love your Savior. And because they love your Savior and you love the Savior as well, they love you.
That's next in Pastor Jeff's brand new message called The Power of Relationships. Thank you for listening today. We look forward to being with you again on our next Life Talk radio broadcast. Until next time, may God bless you richly.